BBC World Service. Now, BBC Learning English.
Hello and welcome to Talk About English. I'm Callum Robertson. In today's programme, we're looking at the topic of pronunciation. We'll be answering a question on spelling and pronunciation, and also looking at what happens to certain sounds in words when people are speaking naturally and fluently. That's all coming up in Talk About English. First today, a question sent in by a visitor to our website. Rohini, who's living in the United States, wants to know why we use the article "a" in front of the word European. European begins with the letter E, which is a vowel. So why don't we use an instead of a? To answer this question and to talk to us about pronunciation today, I've been joined by teacher trainer and materials writer Alan Stanton. Alan, what can you tell us about this question?
Well, the reason is that European begins with the letter E, which is a vowel letter. But it doesn't begin with a vowel sound. It begins European, and the y is a consonant sound. So we say a European. The rule about using a or an is based on sound and not on spelling. Other interesting examples would be the phrase an honest man. Now, honest begins with H, a consonant, but we don't pronounce it. We start with the vowel sound o, so we say an honest man. Another example is the difference between a university, that begins with y, and an uncle. Both those words begin with the letter U, but university has a y sound at the beginning, and uncle an a sound at the beginning. So the thing to remember is that it's a sound-based rule and not a spelling-based rule.
So this is an example of how pronunciation actually dictates the spelling. A European may look wrong on the page, but when it's pronounced, it's correct. And these boundaries between words are what we try and make as smooth as possible, and we do different things to make those boundaries smooth. So, Alan, what are some of the things we do?
Well, there's a natural tendency to join words together in the easiest, simplest, and smoothest way. It simply makes life easier when we're speaking. For example, we have consonant sound to vowel sound linking in phrases such as out of order, where the final consonant sound links to a following vowel sound. We have a linking w sound between two vowel sounds. For example, if we say no entry, we can hear a linking w between the word no and entry, no entry. In a phrase such as see it, we can hear a linking y sound between see and it, see it. And these linking sounds simply make it easier to say those phrases.
And there's another kind of linking which we haven't looked at yet, isn't there?
Yes, that's to do with the sound represented by the letter R, a R sound. Now, in some forms of British English, people pronounce the R every time it appears in the spelling. But the variety of English that we are speaking now, Callum, we don't do that. We don't always pronounce the letter R when we see it in the spelling. In particular, if it comes at the end of a word, for example, if we take a word such as car or door or star, these all end with the letter R, but we don't pronounce that letter. We don't sound the R sound when we say the word in isolation. But if it's followed by a vowel sound, we do reintroduce that the sound of the letter R. For example, we can say there by itself without an R sound, but we say there is, where we can hear a linking R. If we say the number four by itself, we don't sound the letter R. But if we say four eggs, we can hear that linking R joining to the following vowel sound. Some other examples are, if we say, where is the car? Where is the car? We have no R sound at the end of car, because nothing follows, that's the end of the question. But we say, where is, so it's where is the car. If we say, the car is here, then we have a linking R, because it's followed by is, the car is here.
But this is a feature that is really only typical of a certain kind of English, the kind of English we're talking now, I suppose, a BBC English, as it might be called. If you go to other parts of Great Britain, for example, Scotland, there they do pronounce the R at the end of words, don't they?
Yes, they'll pronounce it every time it's there in the spelling. Therefore, as far as learners are concerned, they should do whatever feels most natural for them, because if they feel happier pronouncing the letter R whenever they see it in the spelling, then they should do so. Either way is acceptable.
Today we're looking at some more features of natural fluent speech. What is it that happens when native speakers are talking that makes it difficult to catch the words, even when you know them? One thing we've looked at is linking, which sometimes changes or adds a sound to make it easier to say. But there are other things that also happen.
Yes, we've looked at some kinds of linking, but what we're going to look at now is what happens when a word ends with a consonant sound and the next word begins with the same or a very similar consonant sound.
And we have an example of that here.
I'm a bit tired. I'm a bit tired.
So, what can you highlight from that brief example there, Alan?
Well, of course, we've got the linking of I'm a weak form of but the interesting thing here is the sound of the word bit. When we say the word bit in isolation, of course, we can hear the t sound at the end. But in this case, the word bit is followed by the word tired. So bit ends in t and tired begins in t, same sound. Now when this happens, we don't hear both of those t sounds. We only really hear one. What happens is that we are ready and our tongue is in the right position to pronounce t at the end of bit, but we don't release that sound until we start to say tired. So it sounds like this, I'm a bit tired. It's not, I'm a bit tired, it's, I'm a bit tired.
Presumably because it's a lot easier to say yes, a bit tired than a bit tired.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. It's simply easier to say, I'm a bit tired. So we always choose the easiest way of saying something.
Okay, and we've got some more examples of that now. Just have a listen to these and listen to the same thing happening.
We have a lot to do. Tell me what to say.
Well, it's the same point. We had a lot to do, tell me what to say. We're hearing just one t sound there and not two separate sounds.
And is this something that you think students can actually practice?
I think learners should not really try to practice it, because the whole point about this is that it happens in a very natural way without making any effort at all. So there's really no point in deliberately trying to practice it and putting any kind of emphasis on it, because the point is there is no emphasis there at all. But I think it's useful for learners to know that this happens, because it can help learners understand what they hear, and it may help them sometimes to work out the grammar.
Yes, that's a good point. Well, have a listen to some examples of that. Now, when you listen to these examples, can you tell what tense is being used? Listen to these examples. What tense is being used?
I've finished it.
She slept for 3 hours.
Let's hear those once again.
I've finished it.
She slept for 3 hours.
So, Alan, I've finished it. She slept for 3 hours.
Yes, well, I know what tense these are because I can see them written down in front of me. So I know they're both present perfect. It's I have finished and she has slept. But when I hear them, I can't tell the difference between present perfect and past simple in those examples. What's happened there is that we've reduced have to of, and we don't hear it separately from the v sound at the beginning of finish. So it's I've finished. And in the case of has, we've reduced it to s, and then we don't hear it separately from the following sound in slept. So really, in those examples and similar examples, we can't hear the difference between the present perfect and the past simple. Now, of course, in real-life situations, this is never a problem because the context makes it clear which tense we're using. Or we may hear other words such as yesterday or last week, which we can use with the past simple but not with the present perfect. In fact, it may not matter very much which tense we're using. And if learners make a mistake with their tenses, it's quite likely that people won't actually notice that they've made the mistake because they can't hear the difference. Obviously, it matters a lot when you're writing because you can see it very plainly when it's written on paper. But in real-life speech, the differences are not always so obvious.
Right. I don't know how many teachers would feel about that piece of advice. But yes, it is true. When you're speaking, sometimes, even if you get it wrong, nobody notices.
I think that's right.
You're listening to Talk About English from the BBC World Service.
There's one more feature of fluent connected speech that we're going to look at today, and I wonder if you can work out what it is. You're going to hear a number of examples, and in each case you'll hear the word, and then you'll hear that word in a sentence. Something will happen to that word in the sentence. Can you work out what it is? Here's a clue. Concentrate on the last sound of the word. The last sound of the word. Here are the examples.
Next. I'm going next week. Next. Next week. Worst. That was the worst job I ever had. Worst. Worst job.
Just. Just one person came to the party. Just one.
Can't. I can't swim. Can't. Can't swim.
So did you hear the differences there? Alan, what's happening?
Well, what's happening is this. In rapid speech, the T sound at the end of a word often disappears completely if there are consonant sounds on either side of that T sound. In other words, when we have three consonant sounds in a row, and the one in the middle is T, that T sound will often disappear. We can hear this in individual words. If we take the word postman, for example, the normal way of pronouncing postman is with no T sound in the middle. Of course, we can slow down our pronunciation and say postman if we wish, but normally we just say postman. Similarly, we say Westminster and not Westminster. And this happens within individual separate words, and it happens from one word followed by the next word. In the examples we heard, for example, we heard worst job, where in fact we've got four consonant sounds in a row. That's quite difficult to do in English, and one of them, the T, simply disappears. So we have worst and worst job.
Are there any other consonants that disappear when they're between two other consonants, as with the T sound we've just talked about?
Yes, it often happens to D sound. Of course, that's very similar to T. T and D are probably the most common.
Well, that's all from today's programme. Before we go, a quick recap on today's features. Alan.
Well, we've looked at the feature known as linking R. That's to say the difference between saying four and four eggs. When we say four eggs, we can hear the linking R. When we say where is it, we can hear the linking R. We also looked at the way in which two consonant sounds can merge together in examples like a bit tired and a lot to do. And we looked at how some sounds can completely disappear in words like postman and in phrases like the longest day.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan.
Thank you.
Remember, you can find out more about learning English at our website, bbclearningenglish.com. Hope you can join us next time for more Talk About English. Goodbye.